Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
I have just a couple of other things I want to say in regard to the subject of opposing the enemies of God, based upon the words of Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God in 2 Timothy chapter 4, when he said in verse 14, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. A very sobering statement, a very sobering instruction which Paul gives to Timothy. And we need to learn from this portion of God's Word, so we'll get back to it and conclude it right after I welcome you to this Friday, September 30 edition of the Beacon Broadcast, and remind you that we are dependent upon the gifts of God's people to keep this Bible teaching ministry on the air. Thank you for your prayerful consideration. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. Paul doesn't give us all the details. This is not a gossip column. He's not filling us in with the salacious details of exactly how Alexander the coppersmith harmed him, except he couches it in the general statement that he greatly resisted our words. So we're not talking here about physical harm. He didn't scourge him. He didn't imprison him. Whatever he did was opposed the ministry of Paul. He did what he could to hinder the ministry of Paul. And Paul doesn't hesitate for a moment to point that out, to identify him specifically, and to warn others about him. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. There have been individuals in my own ministry from time to time that have done me a great deal of harm. Should I say so? I admit that I don't enjoy talking about that, but I don't think it's entirely inappropriate, as this text will make clear. It's certainly not something that we must dwell on, and we must always guard our hearts against bitterness and a vengeful spirit, which is what some people might think Paul is doing here, but I assure you that it is not. What he is doing is perfectly biblical and godly. He is identifying a dangerous person so that Timothy can be warned. And that would be the reason for identifying someone who harmed me. Because when people harm a ministry, they generally go on to repeat that someplace else. So, should that be mentioned? I know people who are so reluctant to identify anybody like this that they would rather, they would rather see an enemy of the gospel go on someplace else and harm somebody else than to expose them, confront them, identify them, and warn others. If churches would be more careful in regard to the way they receive members, they could protect themselves a great deal. Some of the people who have harmed me over the years have come from other churches. Perhaps if I had been more careful to investigate their previous church situation, I could have been on guard. So sometimes the fault may lie with me and with us. But I do know of times when we have done that, and we were given a, if not a good report, at least a tame report, because to actually tell the truth is not considered to be polite, is it? To inquire about so-and-so, so-and-so has been attending our church, is showing interest in our church, is inquiring about membership in our church. We understand that they have come from your church. Is there anything we need to know about this situation before we proceed? That's always not only appropriate, but really it's the right thing to do. But it is very seldom done in my experience now for 38 plus years in the pastorate. Very few churches consider this to be important. Very few churches seem to want to even delve into that. It's just assumed that if somebody left a church, they must have had good reasons for it. And it seems like we are more inclined to give the benefit of the doubt to the person who's come to us and to be suspicious of the church that they have left, because after all, that church isn't our church. It isn't as good a church as our church. And so obviously the reason why this person left is because he saw weaknesses in that ministry, and he's had the good sense to recognize the strengths in our ministry, and so why should we bother to inquire? Because he may be an Alexander the Coppersmith. And that's really only the secondary reason why you ought to inquire. You ought to inquire because it's the right thing to do. This is the way churches are supposed to relate to one another in a community. And if more of this were done, there would be a lot less mischief that occurs. So yes, Paul identifies him. We have had people who have done harm to our church and gone on to another church, and we were prepared to identify them and warn the other church, but the other church never inquired. Now what do you do? We've even had occasions, I'm thinking of one occasion, where somebody left our church and joined another church, and we never even heard from the other church. Not to even inform us that they had been received. I wonder why that was. Do you suppose that the person who left our church did not want his new church to know where he'd come from? Did not want them to ask for a letter of recommendation? Do you suppose that something like that was going on? Very possibly. But we have found churches, some cases, churches that claim to be very biblical and very, very committed to proper church procedure, and yet are very careless in this area. Just as careless as churches that make no pretense. I'm going around in circles here a bit, but I'm just trying to make an appeal to churches to understand the importance of this. Take the time to make the inquiry. Pastor, pick up that phone and call that other pastor. Contact that other church. Do the right thing. It may help a lot of people, and it may spare your church a great deal of difficulty. Paul said, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. We would be disinclined to say anything like that. Oh, may the Lord convict him and bring him to repentance and faith and save him. Well, indeed, that would be a good prayer. But that's not the only good prayer. May the Lord judge him. May the Lord oppose him. May the Lord stop him. May the Lord keep him from harming others. Yes, may the Lord bring him to repentance and to obedience. But if that's not what's going to happen, then please, Lord, stop him. Stop him in his tracks. keep him from being able to go from place to place and continue to do damage to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and to the people of God and to the messengers of God. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also, Timothy, must beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. Timothy, watch out for this guy. You see, this is the principle that I'm talking about. We have an obligation to warn others. To fail to do so is not being Christ-like. It is not being gracious and polite. We don't want to say anything negative about somebody. Well, no, not unnecessarily, but come on, folks, at times that is very appropriate, very necessary to keep the other, to keep them from harming someone else because of your love for the brethren, your love for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, your love for the truth, your love for the gospel. You've got to be willing to do this. But when you've done all that you can and all that you should do, then what? Commit the outcome to the Lord. May the Lord repay him according to his works. Paul doesn't say, I'm going to spend the rest of my life tracking that guy down and exposing him if it's the last thing I do. No. I commit him to the Lord. May the Lord repay him according to his works. It's in God's hands. I'll entrust it to the Lord. After Paul has identified him, after Paul has exposed him, after Paul has warned Timothy about him, not before, he doesn't piously say, well, the Lord knows, I'll just commit the matter to the Lord. It's not my responsibility to do anything more, to tell anybody else. Oh, no, you're wrong. It is your responsibility to inform others accurately, to help others be informed so that they can beware, as Paul does Timothy. But once you've done that, commit him to the Lord. It's not our responsibility to try to judge him. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I will repay. And Paul is saying to Timothy, don't take matters into your own hands. Leave Alexander to the Lord, as I have done. And don't worry about it. Don't allow this enemy of the gospel to become a fixation to you and to your ministry so that you can't continue on in a God-honoring way. Trust in a sovereign God. This is part of Romans 8:28. Did Alexander the coppersmith do me much harm? Yes, he did. And it's appropriate and necessary for me to say so. It's really the right thing to do. But I still, that doesn't mean that I don't believe that Romans 8:28 applies here. I still believe that. God allowed him to oppose me for a purpose, a wise and gracious purpose. So I commit it to the Lord. And I will go on proclaiming the truth, and I will go on opposing error, because that's part of my responsibility. But I will go on resting in my sovereign and wise Lord to determine the outcome, the final results, to give the rewards to those who are faithful, and to punish the evildoer. Because that's what God does, and we can trust him to do it. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.